It's Sunday, the 11th of November. This is The Naked Scientist with me, Ben Valsler, and with Chris Smith. If you would like to get in touch with any questions or comments, then you can tweet at Naked Scientists, comment at facebook.com/TheNakedScientists, or email Chris at TheNakedScientists.com.
Bedbug infestations are on the rise. Although the UK has been relatively clear of them for the last 50 years, we are now seeing a rapid rise in the number of cases. But it's not entirely clear why. Now scientists are turning to genetic techniques to help them to uncover the cause of this bedbug comeback. And Toby Fountain is a PhD researcher at Sheffield University, where he's looking at this very question. Hello, Toby.
Hello.
Ever been bitten by one?
Unfortunately, I have, yes.
And what was it like? What happened?
It's not very pleasant. Well, the thing with bedbugs is they don't like to just bite you once. They tend to bite you several times because they're trying to find a juicy capillary. So what you normally find is you get kind of like a row of bites. So even one individual might bite you five or six times. So it can be quite grim, really.
Tell us about the organism responsible. What are these bugs? What do they look like? How would I recognise one?
Bedbugs are small, flightless parasites that suck on our blood. They're visible to the naked eye, and adults are about the size of an apple pip. They're kind of a dark, reddy-brown colour. So they're quite cryptic. They do hide away in lots of places, but if you saw one on your arm, you'd definitely be able to see it. They're bigger than a flea, for example.
Where do they hang out? Because we call them bedbugs, but is that a reasonable name for them?
They don't actually like being in the bed because they might get squashed. So where they actually tend to live is kind of cracks and crevices around the bed. And what they'll do is when you're sleeping, they'll stealthily march out, they'll bite you, they'll feed on you, and then they'll, as quickly as they can, they'll scuttle away to their safe hidey hole. So they don't actually sleep in the bed with you in the majority of cases.
Reassuring, although not much. How do they find you?
So there's actually a number of mechanisms they use depending on the scale. So what they can do is they use CO2, for example. So the carbon dioxide that you breathe out, they can pick up very quickly. And then when they get a bit closer to you, they use a combination of infrared and also like they smell you, sort of the chemicals coming off your body. They smell you, and that's kind of how they locate you.
And then the rest is history, I suppose you could say. Speaking of which, looking back in time, these organisms, these insects were much more common as a pest in people's homes than they are today, thankfully. Why were they more common then? Why did they disappear?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing a lot of people don't know, is they were very common in the UK until about the 1940s. And it was kind of a part of everyday life for people to live with bugs. But when it got to about the 1940s, the government here they introduced more stringent public health legislation. And we also saw the development of powerful insecticides like DDT, and they've been presumed to be what's been responsible to bring the numbers right down. And like you said, now the mystery is that the last 10, 15 years, they've started coming back. They started to get increased reports of them. And what we're trying to do is kind of work out why that is.
Is that a comprehensive thing? If you look at pretty much any Western country, you're going to find this similar sort of trend? Or is it just in Britain?
No, it's a fact of it seen across the Western world, I think. Like the United States and Australia, for example, haven't really had very many reports of bugs until the similar time. So that's the kind of interesting bit, that this pattern has happened globally at the same time.
And in countries that didn't use insecticides and things, have they always stayed high, or was there just a massive global reduction in their incidence?
No, I think they're still maintained. For example, in Africa, they still have quite they've always had a high number of bugs, and that's still been a common feature of life out there.
So how are you using the power of genetics in your research to try to understand a bit about what these insects are doing?
Okay, well, first and foremost, I'm an evolutionary biologist. So one of the things I'm interested in is how genetic diversity is maintained within populations. So we know that genetic diversity is very important, as it's what allow organisms to adapt to external pressure. Now, bedbugs are very interesting because it looks like humans are responsible for moving them around. What my research is finding is that it's usually just a very small number of related individuals that eventually start new infestations. And because this number is so small, you get quite a lot of inbreeding. And mating with relatives causes a reduction in your genetic diversity, which can be detrimental for many species, but not the bug. So what we're using is basically DNA fingerprinting. So what this allows us to do is look at different variable regions in bedbug DNA between individuals, and then we can compare how related individuals are. Now, this is very interesting from an evolutionary standpoint, but it also has a number of very useful practical applications. For example, we're starting to identify the exact kind of numbers which of bugs which do start infestations. And also what we're being able to do is identify where what infestations are linked, which is going to have some very important practical applications for pest controllers.
So do you have to go to sites of outbreaks and physically find bed bugs, or do people kindly send them to you?
It's a combination of the two. I remember early in my PhD, it was a bit strange because I was advertising for people to send me their bugs, which I hadn't expected when I started. But I've also been to a number of infestations myself, and it's really that side of my work that's really opened up to me how much of a problem they are. When I started, I read the literature, and you know, they sounded like they're pretty bad. But I think it's not until you've actually stepped inside a home with a substantial bug problem and you see how horrible it actually is and what real pressure there is to, you know, try and come up with adequate control strategies to get rid of them.
And returning to your question of studying diversity of bed bugs, mm-hmm. So you do the genetic fingerprinting, you are able to study how these things originate and how they spread. What actually are you able to tell about the pattern of spread? Are we able to blame low-cost airlines for sending people off on package holidays? They then stay in low-cost accommodation, which is riddled with bed bugs, bring them back here, and then they spawn an outbreak at home, and then that propagates around the country.
Okay, well, the first thing we can say is actually that cleanliness of a property has very little to do with the chance of having a bug. You're as likely to get them from a very cheap hotel or hostel as you are to one unlucky high-class hotel could have them equally as much. While it's probably a bit early to say whether they're coming from a certain place or not, what we're definitely finding is a pattern of humans moving them around. So if you remember, I said at the start that bed bugs can't fly, they can only walk. So what you might expect in that situation is the further you go away from an infestation, the less related individuals are going to be. It's called
the isolation.
Well, they
can fly if you put them on an aeroplane, of course.
Exactly. So what you can do with that is you can see, okay, naturally, if we weren't contributing to their spread, if humans weren't contributing, we'd see this isolation by distance pattern. We'd see that is the further you move away, the less related a bug would get. But couple that with we're now flying a lot more, we're not seeing that expected pattern. So that is giving support that humans are actually facilitating their long range spread.
Toby's going to stay with us for the rest of the programme. If you have any questions for him about bed bugs, how they spread and what contributions they can or can't make to human health, why not get in touch now? Tweet at Naked Scientists. We have a Facebook page, facebook.com/thenakedscientists, or you can email Chris at thenakedscientists.com. Ben.